You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
If today you hear his voice, harden your hearts. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air.
And that was a different... entrance, yeah, and I fooled you.
But you said, harden your heart, and the scripture is, harden not your heart. I just figured I'd point that out, but I don't want to say that you made an error.
I did make an error, and the scripture is, harden not your heart.
Listen up.
Absolutely.
Harden not your heart. Shut up. Listen up. Harden not your heart.
And that guy is Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
Amen. We certainly
Amen.
Do.
Amen.
And we're surrounded by people who love Jesus as well. Father Peter, Barbara, and Sandy.
Sandy.
You know, and we have just, you're going to introduce them formally, but we want to let you know, and Trevor, we want to let you know, we have an evangelist here from an ecumenical kind of movement, you know? So sooner or later, we're going to all be one, whether we like it or not.
So why don't we let them introduce themselves?
Go ahead.
That would be much better. Of course, we have Father Peters from St. Francis.
Father Peter Kaczmarek, pastor at St. Francis in Greenlawn, and this is my second time on here, and it's exciting already. Glad to be here.
Some people
glad
never
glad to
learn,
have you.
Father.
We love you, Father.
Some people never learn. They come back for more.
They come back for more abuse. Yeah.
And Barbara.
Barbara Ann Campbell, and this is my dream come true. I'm very excited about talking about Father Benedict and Grishel today. Good. And the book I wrote, or several books I've written for children that are kind of inspired by his spiritual direction of me.
Wonderful. How about you, Sandy?
And of course we have Sandy.
Can she have a microphone?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Sandy McGilligan, and I am part of the Apostolic Network of Global Awakening in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Okay, so welcome all, and thank you for coming in this cold weather. And... So what should we talk about first?
I think we should talk about a person that we'd like to dedicate the show to. It's Father Benedict Grishel, who started the Renewal Friars. The Friars of the Renewal.
Yeah, Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, yes.
And Father, maybe you can start off and tell us a little bit about how you know Father Grishel.
Well, I got to know Father Benedict through an old friend of ours at the, you know, she's deceased now, but she had actually been a classmate of his back through grammar school and high school and all of that near Newark, New Jersey. You know, Father Benedict was laid out at Newark Cathedral and not in St. Patrick's Cathedral in the city, because he wanted to affirm, even in his passing, his New Jersey roots, you know, his New Jersey, that rough and tumble state right across the river there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were a lot of cops cars around the cathedral protecting it the night he had his wake. But that was perfect. For Father Benedict, the beauty of the cathedral representing the beauty of his spirit, but also he had his feet on the ground. He was always there for ordinary people, poor people, people in trouble, and it was the perfect place for him to
You know, one thing I've always thought about Father Grishel, he never learned to speak up. We never knew what was going on in his heart or in his mind. He was such a quiet, reserved person.
Well,
people may not know him who were listening to us, but he was quite a dynamo.
Yeah, he was quite a dynamo. Yes, and of course, I felt very privileged. He, you know, when he was having heart trouble and all of that, he called upon me a number of times to run up to places like Wappingers Falls and Cardinal Spellman High School and Stepanak and these other places to fill in for him. And of course, those are big shoes to fill in for, as you know, to give the presentation. But they were some of the best, because basically he knew what he was doing, and he says, well, you know, just briefly tell him what I was going to do, but then you tell him what you want. Mm-hmm. You know, he trusted me to give a presentation that was my own and fill in for him. And I think it was a learning experience, and it was things I'll never forget. Also, we had when we were building our hermitage up in the mountains in the Catskills. The local constable found us out deep in the woods where we were, and he said, "I got a call from the county sheriff. There's a guy by the name of a Father Benedict that needs your help right now." And the poor constable thought maybe Father Benedict had passed or something. But I got off that mountain very quickly and got back down. Found out he needed me to fill in for a talk that night. So he pulled me off a mountaintop and from a hospital bed, got the county sheriff involved to get us deep in the boondocks where we were. And that's another day I'll never forget too. He was a dynamic person who knew how to touch people and had really thousands of people who considered him their friend.
Father, could you tell us a little bit about how he began the Franciscan
renewal? Father Benedict was a lifelong Capuchin priest. He always, he always told funny stories. The orders were pretty ethnic way back when. There was an Italian province and a German province. They didn't call them Italian and German, but basically, if you like pasta, you went with the Italian province. If you like the sausage, Wiener Bratwurst, you went with the German province. You see, and that's actually what the spiritual director asked him when, as a young boy of about 12 years old, he came inquiring, the vocation director, Groschel, what the nationality is that the Groschel? Son, you tell me, do you like a pasta? Do you like a pasta? Well, I don't have too much at home. He says, son, you go to the other Capuchin group. They're a little closer to you. Now you go there. Yeah. So he went to the German one, and then he entered there through Garrison and all of that. But then, of course, he had felt that some of the original charism of the Capuchins was getting diluted by the fact that they were becoming very institutionalized and very structured. He wanted, a simpler Franciscan life to prevail, and he tried to accomplish that within the Capuchin order. It didn't work out, but Cardinal O'Connor was able to help him, and of course there was tensions and difficulties. I wasn't really privy to all of that, but Cardinal O'Connor at the time offered him his protection so that he could function, as a legitimate church person until he got this Franciscan Friars of the Renewal organized and going, and they reflect what Father Benedict and the men who left a more original, more simple and humble Franciscan spirit. That's what he was trying. Where they would not own property, they would rely on people inviting them to come. They wouldn't take over parishes. The bishop says they wouldn't go that institutional, but they would, and they would try to work in difficult areas. The areas where there were many homeless and destitute people. They would try to work in those areas particularly. And now, of course,
and it attracted a lot of young people.
Yes, it surely did. And Father Benedict had the joy of saying, in his later years, they don't need me anymore.
Oh.
They're mature enough. I've handed on the baton. I'm out of leadership. They don't need me anymore, and I thank God for it.
Father, I was at the Catholic Underground the Saturday after Father Groschel died, and the young men who were singing stopped and paid him a tribute and told us how they were in bed, and the bells rang to assemble. And they didn't know what was going on, and they came down and they told him that Father Groschel had died.
Uh-huh.
And they were all so heartbroken.
Wow.
He may have said that they didn't need him, but they really did.
He was still an inspiration
Amen.
To them.
Amen.
He was still a model, a role model for them in countless
Father,
ways.
Father, if you had to say one major attribute and blessing of Father Groschel, what would you say it was?
Well, it was he had a confident faith. He had a confident faith, a love of the church, which led him to a love of Jesus, and always the focus on, being in touch with ordinary people. And he celebrated the work of God in ordinary people. I mean, yet at his wake, all kinds of institutional types of people got up. But there was one fellow, he started out at Children's Village. He was chaplain to that residential orphanage up on the Hudson,
sure.
For a number of years, Children's Village. And a graduate of Children's Village got on and told the story of how he had run away from the village. He was on the loose in town and was trying to figure out a way. But somehow or other, by the Holy Spirit, Father Benedict was coming back, from some other commitment that he had, and spotted the kid on the street corner. okay, and talk the kid to come out to get back into the van they were in to go back. And he, Father Benedict kept that kid under his wing for a whole year until he really, you know, adapted to the program. And then in later life, they connected again. And he and as a mature adult, he was able to help in some of Father Benedict's ministry. And he was there. He brought tears to everybody's eyes. You know, so Benedict was, you know, really touched many, many people.
And Barbara, you had the privilege of having him as your spiritual director. Tell us a little bit about your experiences with him.
I would love to, John. Father Benedict was actually, he was my professor when I was in graduate school at Iona for counseling. And he was my spiritual director. And he was actually, I studied under him for a certificate in spiritual direction. But I want to talk about having him as a spiritual director, because that was quite an ordeal. The story I love the most, that I kind of remind myself of, and the Holy Spirit reminds me of a lot, is I must have been, I guess, I was pretty young. I was maybe in my late 30s, and we were studying under him. And so he was, you know, he was interviewing each of us as potential spiritual directors. And I think he gave us an assignment. He gave us an assignment. It was called the Meadow Mountain Chapel assignment. And you had to write, like, journal about going through a meadow and all the people you would meet there, and then going up the mountain and who you would see and who would help you, and then what did you find at the top of the mountain. And this was supposed to tell him how to ascertain where you were in the spiritual journey. So were you, you know, in the, he was great with the purgative, illuminative, unitive way. Mm-hmm, and that was his thing. That was his big thing. And so he would then, you know, let you know. So, of course, I was holier than St. Teresa at the time. And I couldn't imagine what would happen when I got there and submitted this journal with him in this private interview. We were all lined up. And I thought, well, he's just going to be, you know, knocked over when he finds out that he's dealing with St. Barbara. And, you know, he's going to be amazed. He won't even, he won't know what to do. He won't know what to do. And I was like, oh, I can't wait. You know, and I had all the right people on the path. I met the right people in the meadow. I made sure I got everybody lined up on that mountain. And when I got to the top, of course, that was my moment of epiphany. So anyhow, he looked at it. I got in there. I'll never forget it. And I guess I'm never supposed to forget it as long as I live. But I got in there. And I'm all excited, and I submitted it to him, and he just sat there very quietly reading it. And inside I'm like, well, you know, what's going to happen next? He must be bowled over. And he turned to me and he said, okay, I want you to go home now, and for the next 10 years, practice not taking yourself so seriously. And at the time, I didn't even understand what that meant. I said, not taking yourself seriously. What? I don't even know what that means. I think it did take me about 15 years to figure it out. And I finally went back to him. Well, I saw him a lot. He used to come to our house. He called it Early Pocono, as in as opposed to Early American. He'd say, this is Early Pocono. Early Mountain Pocono, right. But when he would come over, you know, I would always say, should I ask him what that means yet? Am I ready to ask him that? And then finally I said to him, I think I know now what it means, not taking yourself so seriously. And that's kind of, that was kind of a jump off for me with my own counseling and writing and stuff like
that. Then you got into the Q-tip spirituality, right? Do you want to tell them that
Oh, right. So that led me to when I do Bible classes or work with different people in seminars or retreats, I always say to them, Q-tip. Get Q-tips all over your house, especially by your phone. Quit taking it personally.
That's good advice, by the way. I think a lot of us should take that advice. I think that's excellent advice. What do you talk about the Bibles? What do you do? You instruct different passages about the Bible?
Try to make it really practical. You know, Tony, just trying to make it really work in daily life for people. You know, we kind of look at stuff and we don't go through it as in well, let's do this book and then we'll do that book. And I sometimes I do that, but for the most part, I like to just take something like the Beatitudes. We just finished the Beatitudes. We take them and we see how they practically are there to really help us be free in life and release us from so much that we, you know.
So I have a question for you. I'm a Bible person. I'm not that I know the Bible. I like to give out Bibles. If you had, in one sentence, what would you say about the Bible? How would you describe the Bible? If you had to talk to someone about the Bible, what would you say about it?
I would say that it was the blueprint for a living.
Ah, exactly. High five.
Hey.
That's exactly the thought I had in mind. It's actually a blueprint on how we should live our lives. Mm-hmm. God spells every word of it out,
right,
in the Bible, even on how to even how to act with our children, how to act with our wives. Everything is right there in the Bible.
I once heard the Bible described as a collection of stories written by people in their encounter with God in their lives. So it's very practical and down to earth.
You can look at it that way. It's a historical record.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
But the best description I could give of the Bible, it's how to conduct your life.
Exactly.
Mm. And
Barbie,
it's all in there.
You do spiritual direction and you also do talks. How would somebody get in touch with you? How would they get in touch with you if they wanted to? And I know you work at Living Waters.
Yes, Living Waters has been a great blessing in my life. And actually, Carol was the one who told me I had to come here and talk about this book.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, but how would somebody, if they were looking for spiritual direction, how would they get in touch with you? They can go to Father at St. Francis, and Sandy will find out that they have to go to Pennsylvania. But you
would
know.
Would I give my phone number? Or
yeah,
whatever.
Is
that,
why
is that
why not?
Okay?
Sure.
Oh, I would be happy to do that. Okay, so I text. So
you text, huh?
I find that very easy. So 631.
631.
807.
807.
8900.
631, what is that?
I memorized it. 631-807-8900.
Okay, all right.
You have a good memory, Paul.
That would be important there because, you know, while we're talking about Father Grischel, the main thing he was doing was bringing people to Jesus regardless of what religion they were with. And he just wanted them to know and experience the presence of Jesus internally. How did you get involved, Cindy?
With Father Grischel or with ministry? I met Father Grischel one time, and he impacted my life tremendously. He was in a church retreat, and we had gone there. And he took one look at me and then looked at one of his friars,
mm-hmm,
and I said, "Go get her that book." And he brought back a book, turned to a page, turned it down, underlined some words, and handed it to me. And I thought, well, and then he turned away, and I thought, well, that's kind of odd. But I opened the book, and the statement that he had underlined said, in essence, that in the road that I traveled, one of my purposes was ecumenicalism. And that impacted me tremendously because the Lord had just spoken to me about being a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the way that I came into ministry, the Lord began speaking to me over 20 years ago and began pulling me out of the secular world. And I went kicking and screaming bit by bit, finally entered into ministry school, became licensed and then ordained. And primarily the path that the Lord has me on.
Ordained
is,
as what?
Ordained as an itinerant pastor, minister, and the emphasis of what I do is evangelism and prophetic teaching on intercession and spiritual warfare.
Okay. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
A few topics in there.
But, you know, the listeners, they say, what does this have to do with me? And really, what we're really talking about is, how did God lead people to go deeper? And as Bishop Murphy says, to belong to Jesus more deeply. And that's really what we're talking about. You had that kind of experience, Tony. I've had it, where somehow or other, somebody or something comes into your life and lights a spark, and you're directed.
But I think Sandy's good living proof that God is not one-sided. He's not just, he doesn't just pick one side. I mean, he picks all sorts of people, all denominations, all religions.
Yeah.
And male and female.
And male and female.
Yes.
He's very non-judgmental.
I think I said this before in the air, in prayer, I asked God, I asked Jesus, do you care whether somebody's Catholic or Protestant or Jewish? And I was waiting for some great philosophical answer. And what I heard was, well, let me answer you this way. I heard this in prayer. I was Jewish, and it didn't work out so well for me.
I was Jewish, and it didn't work out. Is that what you heard?
That's what I heard.
I really heard that. Well, what did St. Paul say? If their falling away has led to your blessing, what will their return be?
And of St. Paul, look what he was doing. He was persecuting Christians.
Right.
And he got himself knocked off a horse. Say, they're not sure if he was knocked off a horse.
St. Paul got a very interesting life.
Yeah.
I studied St. Paul, and I broke his life down into four parts. And the major part was his conversion,
And we have a couple of other pieces that we want to talk about, because Barbara has a book and Sandy has a ministry she wants to talk about.
And also
Father.
Our good Father has a few things to talk about.
And his work at St. Francis of Assisi Parish.
Tremendous work there, really does.
But you've all been baptized in the Spirit.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. And Jesus said, unless you're baptized in the Spirit, you will not have our love or our life in you. Now, Barbara, tell us a bit about the book that you have here.
Okay, thank you, John. I just wanted to say also about Father Benedict that one of the things that inspired me so much and helps me when I teach and when I write is that he was very practical with Scripture. He brought the Word of God into everyday life. He was down to earth. You knew there was no doubt about what he wanted to say. There was never any question about what he was saying. And I always loved that. He gave us such great, everyday kind of ways to live. And, okay, so this, I've been writing for quite a while, but I never actually wrote a children's series. And I've worked with children quite a bit as a counselor, of course, and I have 11 grandchildren, 5 children. I also had a lot of, my husband and I, Deacon Dave, he's a deacon, and he and I had quite a few foster kids. So it was all inevitable that after hearing so many children in counseling and hearing about the different things that they struggle with, that I would eventually, I guess, think about a children's book. But I wasn't really thinking about it this one day. I was actually cleaning the table off after Sunday dinner. And Sunday dinner was actually something God had told us to do. And so we did it. And I always say it's my purgatory. That's where I spend my purgatory. So we have Sunday dinner. Whoever wants to show up, shows up. And I was cleaning the table off. And I overheard two of my grandkids talking. And it was, I can tell you, it was a Holy Spirit download. It was, I didn't think about it. I think I wrote on a paper plate something that they were saying, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, I want you to say this and want you to go with this and write it. And so I got 5 downloads after that, and so it's a series of books, and they're really about spiritual warfare, which I have to tell you surprised me. Mm-hmm. I never sat down and said I'm going to write a book about spiritual warfare, but it actually happened. But it's under the radar, which God was very definitive about. So it's not something it's something that the secular world would be able to handle. I have a scripture with each book. God has given me a scripture now. This one, the first one in the Ella Francinella series is called Sunday Dinner.
What is it again now?
Ella Francinella. That's the series. And it was a great family experience because my son, David Peter Campbell, illustrated it. And my son-in-law has, because of it, opened a Christian publishing company called Two Fish Press. So a lot of great things came of this.
Wonderful.
And so when we were putting this together, Sunday dinner is actually, you know, it's got three, there's many, many points to it, but it has three main messages here from the Holy Spirit for kids. And the first one is really, again, this ties in with a lot of things I learned from Father Benedict. Never giving up. Never giving up. The second is that God is out of the box. So a lot of times I know in spiritual direction people will say, well, that's not God. God never tells me. God, I'm hearing this, but it can't be God because he doesn't tell you crazy stuff. And I said, yeah, he does.
Certainly does.
He really does. And so it starts out with a whole thing about the mouse. And we have the protagonist, Lizzie Letish, who says, the mouse runs up the clock, and Ella insists no. The mouse runs up the French fry. And then in the later books, you'll find out who the mouse actually is, but I'll give you a hint. The mouse is like God, always there, kind of covering you, very interested in everything that's going on, but quietly there and always present. So that's kind of a little hint about what's coming up. But
And this is for children.
This is for children.
Wonderful.
Yeah. This is all geared for children. And really, I think I've had quite a few adults read it and say, you know, I learned something here.
Yeah.
So that made it exciting. But never giving up, God being out of the box. And the big thing here, of course, is, again, Father Benedict, not taking yourself too seriously, meaning not taking your fears too seriously and giving kids a way to look at fears in a lighthearted, humorous way, trying to reduce them down to size. And I think I said in the back of the book, we have to throw open the closet door and face the Goliath within, you know, and say, hey, let's put a pair of tap dancing shoes on him and a high-brimmed top hat and reduce him down to who he is. And it's kind of like saying to kids, we don't measure the fear against who we are, but we measure the fear against who the Lord is, mm-hmm. sovereign and mighty.
What I see, as far as the book goes, you have two aspects of it. The first aspect of it is children not to deal with their fears so seriously. Is that correct?
And parents, it's really a message to parents.
Okay,
let's not hide it.
And for adults, not to take themselves too seriously.
Exactly.
Those are two aspects of the book that you're trying to get across.
Yeah.
I think they're wonderful aspects.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
Because I think I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I hang out with one. But I think those are the two prominent aspects in the children's lives and in the adults' lives.
Well, didn't Jesus tell us to become childlike?
Yes,
not childish,
yes.
But
yes.
Childlike. So that would appeal to people who are not afraid to be childlike.
You're so smart, Paula.
And
I am.
Not to take offense, you know, I think the Lord gave us like five more books in the series, and one's about prayer, one's about bearing one another's burdens. They're all different themes, scriptural themes. But again, the birthday valet, I get excited when I talk about these. Because
you should. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They are. And the illustrations, they were drawn by your son?
Yes.
I was going to ask you about the illustrations. I know they were hand-drawn.
Yes,
but
yes.
I think they were great.
And yes, he deliberately really didn't want to use, you know, computer graphics. He wanted to draw them.
Yeah, I think he did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
And so many of us are filled
Thank
with
you.
Fear. And afraid of whatever, and afraid of God. And I'm falling back on a word gift, but I remember one time when I was writing and thinking and meditating, and you can call it whatever you want, and I heard God the Father say, people have written such fearsome things about me that when I read them, I'm even afraid of me.
Now, I'll be even afraid. Now, I get afraid.
Probably my big question is, how can someone get this book? Can they get it on Amazon? Do they have to write you to get the book? I'm going to take some. I'm going to be giving some away tomorrow. I'll give some out. Whoever is going to be at St. Catherine's, I'll give some out tomorrow. But how can they get the book?
Well, in the spring, this is actually what they call a pre-launch. I'm not really good at all this marketing stuff, but I'm supposed to be. So This is before it gets on Amazon. It'll be on Amazon in the spring when we really launch it. But mm-hmm. right now, you could get it from myself. I mean,
I could call you, and you could call me,
and I could could send it. And
so, how, so they would get you at 631-807-8900.
What a memory. What a memory he has.
You know, and also, speaking of memory, you know, I was testing you when I opened the show up about not using the word not. Not hard in your hearts. When
yeah, right. Hearts, oh, yeah,
I
sure.
To see if you knew.
Sure.
A little mistake. You know what? I'm glad I did. I know I'm human now.
Can I give you my publisher's phone number,
sure.
too?
He'll, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, it's 631-942-4441. And as I said, he's my son-in-law, and his name is Michael.
Oh.
Rainier, R-I-N-E-R-E. So he would be also a source and to order it. And I should maybe give my, should I give my email?
Give whatever
email?
You want to give,
okay.
give.
Okay, give it. The email is Lottie Glow, LottieGlow, at AOL.com.
Okay. So that's LottieGlow.
At AOL.com, if you'd like to order it, yeah.
Good.
And Father Grishel is living on through your books.
Thank you.
And yes. you're passing on what you learned from him, isn't
that
wonderful?
Yeah, and I just wanted to finish by saying he was very big on never looking back and staying the course, as we talked about, and also taking the next best step. And mm-hmm. that's what I wanted to communicate to the kids.
Great.
You know?
And
okay.
Sandy, tell us a little bit about your ministry. First of all, remind the audience who are listening what the ministry is, and okay. then go from there.
Okay. The ministry's name is Hidden Joy, and it came about actually as I was applying for my licensure. I knew that the title of the ministry would have the word joy in it. And I left a blank because I felt there was something else and waited, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, hidden joy. And that over the years has proven to have a lot of change, a lot of flux. The ministry has changed over the years. Primarily, I teach small and large groups how to pray and how to pray specific targeted prayers that will bring them victory in their lives over things like fear, like depression and anxiety, like sadness and extended grief. A lot of trauma-based, a lot of my ministry is dealing with trauma-based individuals. And then teaching the prophetic, teaching people how to hear the voice of God. And a lot of times I use, may I enter in another ministry name
sure.
here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Dr. Mark Verkler. Communion with God Ministries has a wonderful series on communion with God and how to really get close to the Lord and hear his voice according to the book of Habakkuk, where we listen, we take time, we listen, we watch what we're seeing, we journal what we're seeing, like you do, sir.
Yeah.
And then we look at it and test it against Scripture and go to spiritual directors and make sure that we're in line with Scripture and that for what we're hearing. The voice of the Lord is so personal and so intimate, and you know that you hear his voice as you begin to feel the walls break down, as you begin to have a heart piercing. And that is the true focus. I love Barbara's book. When I very first began to read it, I came back and said, wait a minute, you need a tutorial for
study
this,
guide.
A study guide. Because of the implications of the book and because it is so much like God speaks. We think he's going to say one thing, and he doesn't. He says another. We think a solution should be one way, and yet God gives another. And when he gives those other ways of speaking, it opens up things that we just couldn't even imagine, and that's what the abundant life is all about, that he promises us. And so as we begin to see, as we begin to experience the life of God within us, and we look around us outside to see how he's acting, that's how his kingdom is spread. From Father Grishel, the directorship of Father Grishel, to your listening eyes and heart, Barbara, to your relationship and obedience to Father Peter as a director and as a leader. Mm-hmm. And under that covering, then to begin to understand and write and see the experiences of God and then translate them out into the community so that it can spread and so that children can know that they can hear the voice of God.
Yes,
as well.
That's a beautiful point, and that was in my mind. You read my mind as you were talking. The point that I want to bring out is that, you know, it's so wonderful, and we're so blessed that our God wants to have a personal relationship.
Amen.
With each and every one of
Amen.
Us.
Yes,
each and every one. It's no, I mean, we can communicate with Jesus. We can communicate with God. Jesus wants to communicate with us.
That's right.
Jesus wants to journal with us.
That's right.
All we need to do is free our mind from the noise, open our heart, and just talk to Jesus. Maybe it might not happen the first time or the second time, but persistently, Jesus will be answering you.
And
it's not just that it's the certain few that could talk to Jesus. No. We can all journal with Jesus, and we can all talk to Jesus.
And I have people who tell me, you know, Dr. Palmer, this is great. You're telling me to listen to God. I listen, but I don't hear anything. And I said to them, so you don't hear anything. Do you feel peace? Do you feel warmth?
Do you
feel love? Do you cry? Let me just finish one more point, because what I've learned is God is not a concept. That's a false idol.
Yes.
God is an experience.
Yes.
And you have to be open to whatever he sends your way. And it's so beautiful when he touches you. But you don't have to hear words. You can hear music. You can hear anything.
That's my point. Jesus can talk to us in many different ways. Mm-hmm. Some people are visual.
Right.
Some people are in their mind.
That's right.
Some people are being shown things, but he's talking to us, and he chooses how he wants to communicate with us.
Do you realize how hard it is for me as a psychologist to say I hear a voice?
But now I'm
quite proud of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you.
There was one thing that Father Benedict always you referred to, because he was a psychologist himself, and he was always a little careful about, you know, the concrete content of what God might be saying.
Yep.
But he always spoke about the powerful, and he used the word undifferentiated presence of God,
mm-hmm.
that he lived it like the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I'm out on the sunshine is like God's presence, and it warms you, and it transforms you, and guides you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not necessarily hearing specifics.
That's right.
Concepts. You're not hearing concepts. You're hearing. You're getting an experience.
You see a beauty in a newborn baby. Mm-hmm. You say, wow, that's God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and couples, when they first marry, and you say, that's God. Maybe a few years later you don't say that. In the beginning you do.
In the beginning you do.
You know? Sandy, tell us about IHOP. Not the restaurant.
I was part of IHOP. That was my last assignment from the Lord when he told me to go about a year and a half ago. And I moved from Pennsylvania to Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, about 1,000 miles away. So that was a real stretch for me. And God does tell us at times to do things like that. The International House of Prayer has a very unique ability to...
It's a website.
Yes, it is a website. It is also a place. It's an active prayer room 24/7, around the clock, prayer and worship, the exaltation of Jesus Christ. It's primarily a youth movement. They bring in youth and they train them. And the youth go into the prayer room and they do worship sets. And then there are times of intercession and prayer. And that prayer, it's actually televised all around the world. It is an international movement. And it has had tremendous, tremendous impact on the lives of people. When you go, you have an opportunity to sit in the prayer room. The presence of God is strong, very strong there. And oftentimes people don't take the time in their busy lives. We get so busy. And sometimes I feel that that's a real tactic of the enemy to keep us from that intimate, ongoing, life-giving relationship. Jesus is life. And when we take the time to sit before him at his feet, then we hear words of life spoken to us, whether it's from him or another person, scripture. But when we take that time and we set it aside and we go to a place like the International House of Prayer and we listen to the worship and we hear the words of intercession, the words that come right from his word, scripture, it's just an impacting experience, absolutely impacting. So the International House of Prayer, you can find it on IHOP, just by Googling IHOP, and you'll see International House of Prayer come up. Click on it, and you can see the web stream there.
And it's okay. Wonderful. It's wonderful. And the young people, the young adults are very much into, in our religion, very much into adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and meditation and quietness.
Getting and bigger listening. And bigger, by the way.
And you know, we're right in line with the anonymous scriptural writer who gives us our reflections
very
of the week.
Very short today.
Awesome.
Very short. But, you know, talk about how the Holy Spirit works and talks to us. May I begin by leading into the saint of the day with this reflection?
Absolutely.
Because listen to what it starts with. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart.
I made a mistake. I'm human.
Psalm 95.
My God.
But he goes on to say the urgency of listening to the Lord is obvious. What is not so obvious to us is that a hardened heart will prevent us from being able to listen. And so listen as he asks you, is your heart hardened due to a weak or a non-existent prayer life? Maybe you're full of self-pity, which does a lot of damage to our spiritual life. It could be that you become very self-centered and only concerned about your own needs, whims, desires, and fantasies. Or perhaps you're beginning to doubt your faith in God. The Lord is always communicating with us through our prayer and the events and everyday reality of our lives. How important to make a priority out of our need to be able to listen to him. Isn't that what we've been talking
that's
about
what we've been
for the
talking
past
about.
And that's what Father Grishel was promulgating.
Mm-hmm. And I may add that was written by a great fan of our radio show. He wants to remain anonymous, but he writes one every week for us. Dr. Palmer reads it because I'm from Brooklyn and I have a Brooklyn accent.
So I asked
Dr. Palmer to read it. So that leads into our saint. Do we have time for the saint?
I'm sure you do.
The saint I would like to do in honor.
And I'm going to do it without music today behind you. Because I know that bothers you, but I like to play because I know it bothers you.
I know. I'm doing this saint in honor of our good father. Father Peters, who's the pastor of St. Francis Church in Greenlawn.
And they're both Third Order Franciscans.
And both are Third Order Franciscans. So I'm doing it in your honor. I didn't know this when I selected St. Francis of Assisi.
Oh.
It always happens all the time.
Wow.
It happens all the time. Okay, so who is St. Francis of Assisi? First of all, we should know that he's the one that started the Christmas crib. He's the one that thought of having the Christmas crib. We studied about that. We spoke about that during Christmas. And also, it's interesting to know, his name wasn't Francis. His name was John, believe it or not.
I didn't know that.
Palmer. He was named Francis because his father traveled to France back and forth many, many times. And so he was called Francis because of the fact that his father was very rich and traveling. His father's name was Peter.
Huh.
But he was...
John and Peter.
John and Peter. He was furious, the father. He was fuming with anger. He had all to do with his boy Francis, who at this time really wasn't a boy, but a young man. Peter was a very rich merchant who lived in the Italian town of Assisi and brought and sold silk linens and other expensive clothes. He wanted his son to enjoy the sort of life that he had as another wealthy member of his family. That way, he thought, the family would be both respected and fed by just the ordinary people floating around. At first, Francis had enjoyed going to parties and having a good life, spending money and staying out late. His father was satisfied. But then Francis was ill for a while. As he got better, he started to spend more and more of his time praying. And so by praying, what will it do for you? Whatever he could, he gave his money and food to people who were poor and needy. That he got through praying. He no longer wore his fine, expensive clothes. Aha! One day, he was praying in a church named St. Damien's, just outside of Assisi. The church was rather old and almost in ruins. As Francis prayed in front of a large crucifix, a cross with the statue of Jesus on it, the statue seemed to speak. Francis, repair my church. At that time, Peter was away. That's his father, on business. So Francis went back home, took some of his father's goods, and sold them. Then he took the money to the priest at St. Damien's to pay for the repairs. When his father Peter returned home and found out what had happened, he almost exploded with anger. He grabbed hold of his son, led him off to see the bishop, and told him the whole story. The poor bishop listened. Then turning to Francis, he said gently, Francis, the church cannot take what does not belong to it. You must give back to your father what is his. So Francis took the money, gave it back to his father. Then he started tearing off all his clothes and throwing them at his father. Now I owe you nothing, father. I've got nothing of yours, he says, taking off the very last of them. You are no longer my father, and I have no father but my father in heaven. Peter the father took his money, stormed out. Someone put an old workman's tunic on Francis. His new life had begun. He was now Francis. From that day on, he lived very simply, owning nothing and eating only the food he could beg and wearing a rough brown cloak and tunic. Other young men, many of them rich, gave up everything and joined him. So he inspired even the rich to go to the life that he had. They became known as Franciscans. Francis became especially famous for his love for animals and birds. This became clear when Francis was outdoors one day, teaching a group of people about God. What God wants us to do is, said Francis, we can't hear you, interrupted the people. It was true, they couldn't. Francis was standing on a little hill talking to the people. The reason they couldn't hear him was because a large number of swallows were building nests nearby and chirping very loudly. My dear sister swallows, said Francis, listen to the word of God and be quiet till I'm finished. To everyone's amazement, the swallows all settled on the edge of the building and in trees and were silent. Thank you, said Francis. As I was saying, what God wants us to do is to love each other, be kind to each other. We are all brothers and sisters, even the animals and birds. That is why I call the swallows sisters. The swallows kept silent till he had finished teaching. Then once again, they began to sing. So that's the quick story of St. Francis, who our Holy Father the Pope took his name. And I remember when he was elected, one of the cardinals said to him, don't forget the poor. And that's what St. Francis was all about. So that's the short story of
And I'm so glad
in your honor, Father.
It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
But it's also in the honor of Father Benedict
and
Michel,
Father Benedict
because
Michel,
he
yes.
based Absolutely. The whole renewal on him, for yes. the friars on yes. Francis's
on
way
the
of life.
Simplicity of Francis. Yes.
And I have to tell you, in all honesty, I had no idea we were going to talk about Father Grischel when I selected St. Francis. I really right. didn't. I had no idea because John and I don't talk that much during the week.
I have all I can do to spend an hour with him.
But we love one another.
That's it. Oh, sure.
And I have to tell you, he never hugged me. He never, ever hugged me.
I knew where he was going.
Okay, so that's the story of St. Francis. And so I hope that it enlightened us a little bit about
Father, tell us a bit about St. Francis of Assisi Church and what you've been doing since you've been there.
Well, we've tried to bring the Lord a little closer to the people. We have a wonderful youth mass at 5 p.m.
Yes.
A wonderful youth mass. And, it's lively music. And we even clap along.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you don't usually find that in a Catholic. We even clap along at the Gloria and the Holy, Holy, Holy and the other times. And it's beautiful. The kids love it. And we do have a very faithful music group. And, we were launched nicely and we're maintaining ourselves. And like I say, you the people who love, and she's passed on, but she was one of the pillars of the parish, over 90 years old. She still walked to church and all of that.
Wow.
She said, I heard about this so-called rock mass. And she was over 90. She said, now I figured I wouldn't like it, but I better come and support Father Peter. so Mary Rand was her name. She's passed on to the Lord by now, but she was 95 when she passed on. But she would have been about 91 when this happened. But she says, but I got to the Mass. I was ready to hold my ears, but I enjoyed every minute of it. She said, I enjoyed every minute. So I've been saying, if Mary could have loved it, you guys can love it,
and
too.
And you do a healing Mass.
We're doing a healing Mass.
Tell people about that on the radio so they might come.
Yes, we have. The next one is the 25th of February.
25th?
And it'll be a regular, we did a generational healing Mass. With using the prayers of Father Alfred Fredette and of the La Salette Fathers. That was the last one we did just a couple of days ago, and it was a beautiful. But I'd like also to, I allowed Sandy to use, one of her gifts, and that was the word of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And maybe Sandy would just to share with us a little bit of what the word of knowledge is so that, our hearers can be a little enlightened about that.
One of the giftings that the Lord gives to us is in our ability to hear him because of his grace. He may show us a picture, he may give us a word, or he may give us a phrase that will indicate that he wants to touch someone's life. And once those are spoken out, it opens up a portal, we call it a portal, away from heaven to come down. And then when a person connects with that word, the Lord will release healing. And it is extremely powerful, extremely powerful. We always say it from Global Awakening that if a person doesn't get 100% healed when they're prayed for it, they feel the love of God. They're touched by the love of God. And so their lives are impacted.
Sandy, maybe we can have you use that gift for our listeners now, because we always pray for healing at the end of our
petitions.
And we have the petitions at the end of each show.
Okay.
And we have all the petitions here on the table and we can all pray. But maybe you will find that you'll hear something inside that would be touching of a listener. There you go, Father. And Lord Jesus, we place ourselves in your presence.
Yes,
and we ask you, Lord, to bless every listener with every concern so that they can listen for you within them, which is what our program has been all about, that they open their hearts to your presence and to your love. And anyone around the table who has anything they wish to share, feel free. Sandy, do you have anything?
Yes, there's someone with a right ring finger that has extreme arthritis, almost crippling. And I believe the Lord is saying, if you will but reach, your hand will be healed. This one is dear to my heart, but I have received the word, and it is Parkinson's. Parkinson's is being healed.
Wonderful.
There is also someone with a curvature in the back, a left lumbar, that is being touched right now. And there is a kneecap. You were to go in for knee surgery on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. And that knee is going to be put back into place and astound the physician. There is a doctor that is astounded by recent diagnoses. Not so much of the diagnosis of man, but the words that have been spoken in a room over a person and has seen that person healed. And it is local. It is in this area. The person has been healed. And the Lord is calling you. The Lord is calling you to himself. And all those ways that you had, he's calling you to lay down so that he can take the place of those ways.
And Father, one last thing. I know you have a prayer group there for Maria Esperanza and Betania 13.
That's right.
And that meets on a regular basis. So we ask Maria Esperanza to join in our prayer here as well.
Fino's our good friend.
Yes, Fino's a good friend. We'll meet again in March. Just stop meetings.
And Dr. Tony's heavily involved. Too,
yeah.
So. And I'll be there. And Jesus, I just want to give you praise and glory and thanks for
Lord.
All the blessings you gave us and all the sending us the Father and Sandy and Barbara for today's show. And we're so grateful, we're so humble, and we're so thankful. Thank you so much for allowing us to do the show, Jesus.
And I've chosen a song to end this program with, and it's as if Father Grishel was talking to each listener of my heart. Listen to these words. It's the Irish blessing, sung by the priests.
And thank you, listeners. We love you. We give you praise and glory, and we ask Jesus to watch over you.
Thank you, Father Sandy.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Listen to Father Grishel sing to you. And we ask Father Grishel, keep us in prayer.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community, AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.